This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. I'm your host, Derek, and this is the show where each episode, myself and a guest will dissect and discuss a single game that's available on Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass service, which was chosen for us usually completely at random. Whether it's a magical or a horrible experience, we'll force ourselves through it, share our thoughts, and let you know whether or not the game is worth your time. At the end of every episode, we'll also be drawing the game for the next show as well, so you always know what's coming up on the next adventure. And yeah, generally it's me and one guest, and it's been a while since we've had someone totally new. You might recognize the accent and see if you can guess who this person's associated with. But my good friend Linda Louise is on the show for the first time after months and months of being like, when are you going to have me on your show? So here we go. How are you?
I love that intro. Hi, Derek.
It's just the Derek awkward banter that I can't help but do anything but, basically.
Of course. This is a wonderful conversation of you and I who are super awkward together. So yeah, I am good. I'm excited to finally be on your podcast.
It's been, yeah. I feel like you've been asking for a long time, so I'm glad we could make something work finally.
A long time.
I feel like you're very interesting as a gamer because I feel like you're very, very picky. And I feel like there's a lot of things where we've tried to play together and you're just like, it's shit. And so I'm like, so I thought a couple things might happen today. I thought that, you know, someone would join the Zencaster room and then I would just hear Doogie speaking. Like, you'd be like, fuck this, I'm not doing it. Or it'll be like I thought it would be the shortest episode of the show's history. Cause just be like, it's shit. And, and that's it. Like, drop the mic and walk away.
Oh,
so I am looking forward to talking to you about the game though, for sure.
I am disappointed in your disbelief of my commitment to you as a friend. Did you honestly think that I wasn't going to give this my full commitment?
No, I just,
I'm just joking.
I just thought that, you know, full commitment or not, you'd be like, it's shit. Because
I'm very picky.
Yes, you're very picky.
I have very bizarre standards of of games that I like, and they're completely random and have no reasoning whatsoever. But yes, I am a very take it or leave it person.
Like even stuff like, I don't know, like Michaela and Doogie have like separate chats and have put hundreds of hours into like Stardew Valley, and which is like a universally beloved title.
No.
And you're just like, shit.
No, I'm not for it. I cannot do pixel content.
Sure.
You know me, I am a very visually minded person, as a creative person. And I just can't do it. If something just doesn't click with me visually, I find it really, really hard to focus on it. So yeah, that is predominantly the reason. But yes, I am the person that's like, no, it's shit. I don't want to give it any more than 20 seconds.
Yeah. So on that note, like, what, just because you haven't been on the show before, like, what, how, like, are you a big gamer? And like, what games do you typically gravitate towards? And what are some other shit games that everyone else likes that you hate?
I am not a massive gamer. I really only started gaming. No, that's a complete lie. I gamed early on I'm showing my age here, with like Sega and Sonic and, you know, the platformers that we all had in the early times. in the before time. So yeah, I really enjoyed that as a teen. And then I really got back into gaming when I met Doogie. And Halo was predominantly something, or shooters that are something that we can play just to have fun. And mostly, to be honest, just to take my frustration out on manically shouting at people.
I've been on the other end of some of that.
Yeah,
shouting,
so. I don't do it on headsets. I'm not on the mic. I just, unless it's like friends that I'm playing with. So I don't abuse people online, just to be completely clear about that. But I do love to scream at the TV when I'm playing online with folks, just the way people do with sports. You know, if you're watching American style football or or soccer or whatever. Yeah. I do love to get that tension out playing that. But other than that, I just really enjoy games that are fun, that don't take themselves too seriously, and usually something that is visually stunning. So yeah, I don't have a particular genre. I do like some, you know, I've played like Halo shooter games. I've played like Skyrim, which I think is one of the most visually stunning games there has ever been. So I just kind of enjoy a bit of everything other than Stardew Valley.
aside from like Halo type games, like what are some favorites for you?
I like fun games like Overcooked that you can play with friends. Yeah. Although I don't understand why I torture myself with these things, because they give me so much tension and anxiety that I don't understand. But it's like one of those things that you torture yourself with, right? Yeah. So I enjoy that. What else? I didn't know you were going to ask me this question, and I should have been smarter and thought about it.
Didn't I tell you before we started I was going to ask you this question? No. Okay.
You didn't. No.
Okay.
No. So this is
sometimes
your fault.
Sometimes when you're on the spot, you give the most honest answers, you know.
That is very true. Especially me, as you know. Which is why I think you avoided having me on the show.
No.
You
were
like,
no.
You're just going to be like, it's shit. I didn't play it. I put it down. It was rubbish.
I put it in 10 minutes. Played it for 10 minutes and it's shit.
I did not play this game for 10 minutes. Played this game a lot longer than 10 minutes.
Okay.
So I gave it a full run. But yeah, no, I just like games that are fun, something that you can enjoy with friends or family or your partner. And I think that, for me, that's what gaming is about. You know, like, my brother is 12 years younger than me.
Sure.
And I used to love playing Halo or Call of Duty online, you know, in group chat with him and his friends when they were like 15, you know, which it was really nice bonding for us, because, you know, we enjoyed playing those things together. We learned from each other. He learned about my rage for people online. I just like things that are interactive and fun.
I'm surprised we haven't played more Halo together. Like, I know we played a handful of times when Halo Infinite came out. But then I think like everyone just stopped, like everyone played it for like 2 weeks and then just stopped playing. And it hasn't gone back since, it feels like.
I think the heyday of getting great games online, unfortunately, in that community has gone, unless you're one of the hardcore, you know, diehard fans that you have your groups and you have your folks.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah. But Halo was in our wedding vows, so
I know.
When Doogie and I got married, because it's one of the ways we bonded as a couple, right?
Totally, like which is so cool.
He introduced me to like gaming again, and I just really enjoyed it. And yeah, as I said, like it was really nice because I used to game with my brother as well, and that was kind of the same kind of time frame and his friends, and it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun as well.
How do you feel about Fortnite? I feel like Fortnite is visually appealing and there's a lot of really cool characters in it. And now there's even a no build mode where you don't actually have to build anything, which always like felt insurmountable for myself, and which is why I put the game down. I feel like that seems like a fun group game that we can maybe play together.
I absolutely agree 100%. No, it's not shit. I actually loved Fortnite. I would sit and watch. I did try myself, but it was the build mode that, because of my anxiety when I'm gaming and my anger when I'm gaming, I'm going to call it my therapy in gaming. Fortnite, visually stunning, great mechanics. I've just really, and you know, I'm not a diehard gamer, so you know, I don't necessarily know all the context of every mechanic, or you know, I couldn't pick everything apart. But I think sometimes that's a really interesting way to look at a game from a different perspective. I just really enjoyed it. I actually sat and watched Doogie play it for hours and hours. But build mode just killed me when I tried myself. Too. It was just so stressful. And I think you and I are similar in that way. I think we're competitive folks. And I think if we don't grasp something immediately, it can be a real barrier. More so for me, I'm just tend to be like, no, right. If I'm not great, I'm going to put
this
in.
It just always felt like, especially in the later game, you know, the instant you see someone, like within 2 seconds, they're like 100 feet up and you're like, I've placed one wall and one ramp in that period of time and you're in a giant tower. And how does that even work?
Yeah.
But now there's a no build mode. So we could play and not worry about that.
Yeah, you can also get
there's a John Cena skin now too. We could play the John Cena.
Yes. Yeah, the skins were wonderful. What a clever concept.
I don't know if you've looked at it lately, but it's like there's like Master Chief and John Cena and like Spider-Man and Kratos from God of War and like literally like basketball players and like it's the weirdest like Marvel. It's everything. Everything is in there now. It's wild.
I mean, gotta make that money though, right?
Gotta make that big money. So much money. Yeah,
big Marvel money.
Yeah.
No, I think it would be interesting to go back and revisit. I do really like the freedom of expression. And I did enjoy, you know, everything visually about the game. I just think, I think I would be really interested to go back in and see the no build mode and see how that, if that attracted me more as a player to invest my time in that.
Let's set it up.
Yeah, let's do it.
Today we're talking about something else, though. Today we're talking about a game called The Forgotten City. Before we jump into it, do you want to read the synopsis for us and so we know what it's about?
Sure. So the synopsis is, The Forgotten City is a mystery adventure game of exploration and deduction and a reimagining of the critically acclaimed mod that won a National Writers Guild Award and racked up over 3 million downloads. Combat is an option, but violence will only get you so far. Only by questioning an intertwined community of colourful characters, cleverly exploiting the time loop and making difficult moral choices, you can hope to solve this epic mystery. Here, your decisions matter. The fate of the city is in your hands.
So, what did you think? We'll jump. This is like a short-ish, like very, very story-heavy game. So, for the first chunk of the show, let's give us your impressions on what you thought of the game overall. Let's try to avoid spoilers for those of you that haven't played the game. And then at some point we'll be like, hey, spoiler time. And then and then we can say whatever. So what did you think of the game?
I am very conflicted about this game. I think this game had a lot of potential when I started playing it for something for me to enjoy visually. It was beautiful. But as I explored the world more, it just really frustrated me, which I did not expect when I started playing it, because I was pleasantly surprised when I started playing it and I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. I like to chat to people. This will be cool. I like to hear about history of the world and solve mysteries. And yeah, it just took a curve for me after about 4 hours and it went downhill from there. So yeah, I'm really conflicted about this game. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. Would I pick it up again? I don't know. Part of me has been dreaming about it for the last 5 days.
Oh yeah.
And like, I hate when I can't solve something, or I hate when I can't like immediately mystery. I'm just like, it's very story driven. It's very like, oh, what did I do wrong there? How do I solve that? How can I be smarter? Why am I not being smart? But yeah, definitely on the fence for, it wasn't a clear it's shit. It wasn't a clear I love this game. I have a lot of thoughts.
Thoughts. I really thought this game was fascinating. I would say this felt like one of probably, I don't know, I have a very, 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 very bad memory in a lot of aspects. And so I was going to say this felt like one of the most like memorable experiences probably that I've had in a while. And I've spent the summer not playing a lot of games. Just like, I don't know, it's hot out and maybe that's been part of it, but just like picking, you know, I want to play some games and then like 20 minutes later, I'm like, I'm not into this. But game, like I started it not knowing too much about it. And then kind of for maybe like the first half an hour or something, cause I think it talks about it in the synopsis, but it's kind of like this like time loop adventure mystery thing where you're trying to figure out what's
it should us.
Yeah. Like happening and how mm-hmm. to like, you know, get to get all the information from all the characters so you can figure out like the best path forward basically. And mm-hmm. at first I was like, I'm not like, it just didn't seem interesting to me. And then as soon as you start talking to the characters, like the world was just fascinating. And I don't know, like I ended up like getting to I finished the game like in two sittings because I was just like, I just wanted to get there. Like, and that's the second, you know, the second sitting, it was like, I think that's when I played most of the game. And I was like, oh, I'm going to play for, I've got like 45 minutes until I got to do this other thing. And then I ignored the other thing and just played the game until I finished it and was like, shit, that was great. So I really, really, really liked this game. And, you know, technically I had issues for sure. And it's clunky at times. And yeah. some of the way, like the way that the conversations are like presented felt very like dated, I felt like, just in terms of the way that they looked and felt in a lot of aspects. But like on the other side of the presentation, I thought like the voice acting and stuff was really good. So yeah, like technically I didn't like, it looked good, but there was a lot of clunkiness to it as well. And it actually, I don't know if you know too much about the game, but it actually like was like started development like shortly after Skyrim came out and was developed for years as a like mod for Skyrim. Like it runs on the Skyrim engine, and it wasn't until like it was, you know, finally later released that they basically, the guy who made it, I think the mod was developed by like one person and it took over 1700 hours according to Wikipedia.
Wow.
And then after the mod came out, he actually quit his job, hired a few other people to form the developer, and mm-hmm. then took 4.5 years like turning it from just a mod for Skyrim into this like standalone game that you could play type thing. And which is so cool. I feel like you don't see like a lot of these like tiny, you know, I think even at the beginning of the game, it presents itself and says like this was primarily developed by like 3 or 4 people or something like that,
absolutely.
Which is wild.
Awesome.
You said you have a lot of thoughts. Is it like story thoughts? Like, should we just throw the spoiler warning up now?
I think we just have to get into it.
So it is a super story focused game. If you are interested in the game, you know, it's a handful of hours long, and I thought it was like gripping throughout. I for me, it's like a must play game. But if you are interested in playing it, I think it's on Game Pass for PC as well, so like you can play it across Xbox or PC, and it's available for purchase on pretty much every other platform, including Nintendo Switch. If you're interested in it, like, skip ahead a bunch because we're gonna jump into the story. And you know, a lot of what made this game interesting was the story and how it played out and the surprises along the way. So there's your warning, and you're free to speak now.
Your content warning. What do you want to talk about in content, like with the story? Do you want to just break the story down, or you want to just hear my thoughts on the overall story?
Whatever comes to mind, like let's just jump into it.
I mean, I really, as I said at the start, I enjoyed, you know, I was a bit confused at how the game started.
Sure.
I have to say, like, going straight from, you know, the sort of like mystery of, yeah, you're just, somebody's just pulled you out of a river, and then going into this forgotten world mm-hmm. was fine. But then I have to say, like, at the start of the game, I was a bit confused because I kept doing everything wrong and committing sins, because I'm that type of person that likes to challenge people. And then I kept getting looped back. So that was frustrating for the first couple of hours, because mm-hmm. I was like, I played this game for quite a long time. I played 15 hours of this game.
Oh, wow.
So it was a long time. And I went in and I was kind of like, I'm just kind of going to go for this, and, mm-hmm. you know, chose all the things of, you know, where the gods were unhappy with you, and then you had to run back to the time loop before they murdered you
and all
the people. But I felt like I was caught in that continuous, I mean, obviously it is a loop game, but I felt like at first, for the first couple of hours, I really couldn't get a handle on what sort of path I was supposed to be taking. So that was very frustrating for me at the start. I didn't mm-hmm. do any. So I think I died like 3 times at the start in my first 2 hours of trying to get information from folks and find out what the kind of premise of the game was and what was my purpose there as a human. And then I was like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna say like these things and we'll see what happens. And then I kept dying, and then I was like, okay, I'm gonna take the good route. I'm gonna be a good human. Yeah. And I'm gonna be, you know, devout and wonderful, and I'm gonna do all the right things and say all the nice things. And then that did not get me anywhere. So yeah. I was just like, I hadn't seen, like, I know it's a very story driven game. I had asked lots of questions, I had spoken to everyone, I had found out about their stories, but I felt at that point, for me, I think where I came into conflict with this game is there was no clear markers, because you get so many different quests and side quests, and there was no clear narrative. And I know for a lot of people that is what's wonderful about games like this, is because they're like, hey, you can, you know, you can go and talk to this person, you can do this little quest.
You can discover it along your own path, basically.
And you can make moral choices.
Yeah.
But for me, in this game, I've found out that I do like a lot more structure than I've realized. So I think for me, I was like, okay, I've got like 19 quests now. I've asked all the questions. I've done like little parts of everything here, there, and everywhere, but I don't have a clear, obviously your clear directive is to leave the place that you're in, right?
Yes, yeah.
But I just didn't feel like there was a clear narrative that was driving me to get to the next step. And at that point, I had played for about 2.5-3 hours, and I had to just put the game down and be like, I want to give this, because obviously it's your podcast and we are friends, I want to give this a commitment. And sometimes I think you can make a, I am very bad for making like a momentary judgment of things, especially creative things, and being like, nope, that's not for me.
Right.
And then I was like, I want to give this, you know, what it deserves. These people spent a lot of time producing this creative content, so I want to give it what it truly deserves. So then when I went back to the game a second time, I was like, okay, you need to decide. You just need to decide on where you want to go with this. So I don't know what your thoughts are on, you know, that kind of conversation.
For those that aren't familiar with the game, it basically, like, as you mentioned, it, you wake up and you, I think you don't really remember much, and you, but you wake up on the side of a river, and basically someone's pulled you out of this river, and they tell you that there's someone else that's gone into this cave, and so you go like follow them so that you can, you all can leave together, and then you end up finding this like ancient city basically, and it's and like you go back in time essentially, and so this city is under like, it's like the perfect city or something. There's no crime, there's no, you know, it's beautiful and ornate, and there's golden statues that are creepy all across the city. And you basically, there's like 23 or so people that have at different times ended up in this city, and now they live there. And the basically it's, there's no crime and there's no anything, and the only rule is that like there's the golden rule basically, which everyone tends to everyone follows out of fear, and it's that if anyone like you know, the basically is the sins of the one will, like, what is it, I wrote it down,
fall on the many or something like
the sins of the one will fall on the many or something, and so if someone commits a sin then everybody dies. And that ends up being super true, because the first time I died, I accidentally I think I grabbed like a potion or some sort of like, and I was like, well, he's not looking, the guy that I'm stealing this from is not looking, so it's probably fine. And then like and then like it basically, like, you hear this booming voice that basically repeats that like sins of the one type thing, and all of the golden statues come alive and just start like killing everyone, basically
shoot you with arrows,
and so you have to like try to run back to like the place where you started in the city, and then you kind of, then it loops back around again. And
which, can I just interject here? To put you off your flow.
No.
But did you, this city, I don't know how many times I ran through those streets, but every time I was like, where am I going again? Like, I could not remember the map. It was the most convoluted, and I couldn't find a map in the menu. I don't know whether that was just me not given that time.
I don't think that there was a map in the menu, and I had trouble for a bit, and then it got kind of, then it sort of made sense once I was like X amount of loops through. But where it got hard was that like the map I was fine with the map, but not knowing, I didn't know where people would be at whatever time.
Yes, just randomly.
And that's what was kind of confusing, because I'd be like, you know, I generally, like, I kind of played it like, you know, this loop, because you get quests and side quests, and it's all about, like, learning about the people, so you can, like, figure out who might break the golden rule, and there's, like, a vote that's going to happen for, like, who's going to, like, rule the area, and so you're trying to figure out who everyone's voting for, and see if you can, like, sway votes for somebody else, if that means that, like, the golden rule won't be broken. So there's all sorts of stuff to, like, talk to, you know, there's someone that's been poisoned, and so you have to, like, try to convince someone to give you what can heal them, basically, and there's all sorts of stuff going on, and it seems like all sorts of relationships between these 23 people, and that aspect I really liked. But it was like, I generally played it like, I would start the loop and be like, my goal this loop is to finish this mission, and if I still have time, or if other stuff happens along the way, that's fine, but I want to, like, clear this thing, basically. And so then I would just focus on that, but then I sometimes wouldn't know, even though it's the same every time, I wouldn't know, like, where a character would be, and so I'm running around forever at that point, like, trying to find a certain character.
I think that's probably where your experience is as a person playing these style of games comes in, because there was no clear structure. It wasn't like time sensitive. I know you were in a loop and things happened throughout the day, and no matter what you did, the election came, so you had to try and fit in these quests to you know, get the other person nominated for magistrate or whatever. I understand that, but I just feel like other things that I've played that are similar in narrative, you know, you knew you had, like, you have four main purposes, and then you have, you know, 20 side quests, and you can choose three side quests depending on how you want your character to evolve, how you want to, you know, experience that journey through the world. I just felt with this game, which I think is why I'm so conflicted on it, was just for me as a person that doesn't necessarily, you know, think in that structure that you do, like, this loop, this is my parameters, this is what I'm going to set myself, these goals. I kind of am more of a free player, so I was just kind of like, I'm going to have conversations and I'm going to see what people want. Oh yeah, they want to find out the common things that brought them here. Why did they all end up here? Okay, I'll go and do that. Like, obviously, if I speak to all these people, they'll tell me in their stories the common things, and then I can take that back to that person and be like, oh yeah, these people all came here because of X, Y, and Z. Do you know what I mean? So But I think with the narrative, the story, and I know that this game has alternate endings, but I just felt like, no, I just didn't feel like I had purpose. I think my purpose was like, I want to commit my time to giving this game a good run, because I am genuinely going to do a podcast on it, and I don't think I would have committed that time to it, which I think is in a way is really sad, because I think the more that I played the game, the more I enjoyed certain aspects of it, and I enjoyed the journey, and I enjoyed the story, and I enjoyed the education and the history of Greeks and Romans and the Egyptians and people that came before, and how, you know, their deities and gods were all derived from similar lore. I loved that. That world was colorful, and obviously you could tell the team had spent a lot of time doing research, and they wanted to make it, you know, they wanted to educate you on, you know, maybe these things that you don't know about unless you're a historian. And I really loved the color of the world and the color of the people with their little stories and how they got there. But I just felt rudderless. I think that was, I was just like running about all over the place for like hours.
I get that. I feel like I often struggle with like open world games, because I don't feel like, you know, I don't enjoy the just like driving around the city or like walking around and like seeing what you find type thing. Like, I want a quest or a mission to go on. And so often I struggle with those open world games because of that. I don't feel like this game was small. So I don't feel like it was like a super open world game, but I definitely feel where you're coming from. I also thought that, like, I don't know, separating it into like the individual stories of the characters, some of them were so cool and interesting and like disturbing in some ways. I don't know if you did the one where you go into like the mansion or the temple or whatever that the lady had locked herself in, where she's like,
that
peeling.
Was horrendous.
So basically all of these gold statues, this one woman has for, I can't remember how, but she's realized that they're, are people inside of them, basically. And so these are people where the previous people that lived in the city or whatever, like they broke the golden rule, and so they've all been turned into statues. And so she starts peeling the gold off of them, which is like horrendously painful for them, and then they're all like creepy and like they walk weird and they come after you and like stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing about this game is like all the creepy whispering.
Yeah,
and I'm like, is this one voice? Is this different people? Like,
yeah.
And yes, I did enjoy the fact that they gave you helpful hints and tips, and you know, like I definitely did that, but I cannot remember any of these folks' names because they're all Greek and Roman, and I don't remember how to pronounce them. I should have maybe phonetically written down.
It's fine.
But yeah, like there was some amazing storylines, and I loved the fact that you know you had to, you know, essentially kill. I got the golden bow, and you know, I essentially killed these creatures and went through, you know, the back tunnels to get up to her.
Mm-hmm. And I like that it warned. Quest. Sorry to interrupt you. That it warned you at the start of that too. Like it was like if you don't like action or horror elements, like feel free to skip this chunk. Like
yes,
I like that they gave you, because that's like I would say that's the most action focused. It's not an action focused game, but that's the most like action focused piece of it. And I love that it like because I do feel like this game, because it's mostly like you're walking around and it's conversational and it's almost like a puzzle type game in that you have to figure out the order to do these things to like get to the next step. Like, I feel like it is more approachable for people because of all of that. But you know, people could then struggle when they get into these combat sections or whatever. So
yeah, absolutely.
To like give you that heads up, I thought was really a neat touch.
Yeah. We love a content warning. No, seriously, especially, you know, I am a person that we talk about this all the time. I don't watch horror movies. I watch psychological drama and crime in context of, you know, the story, but I don't do gore. And this, for me, was quite gory. Obviously, I made an active choice to go through that section because I was intrigued by the combat. Yeah. I knew that this was going to be a combat moment. And at that point, I was so frustrated by asking questions and getting nowhere, really.
Sure.
You know, I had several texts and several boxes of different, you know, quests, but I hadn't. I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm the sort of person that's like, I just want to finish that. And at that point, I hadn't gone about things in the right way for it to gel together enough. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this because then it's going to give me something to focus on. And I really enjoyed that moment. And then I did, you know, one of the other sections towards, because I ended up in ending number two.
Okay.
So I did a little bit more combat later on. But I think the struggle that I had at that point, I did feel like I was playing two different games. I felt at that point that I had like failed because I was like, oh, I've been running around chatting to these people trying to solve puzzles and actually I've missed the point. I should have found this place sooner and got to the content of the game. This is the game. And I had played for 3 hours at that point and not got any combat. So I think as a player that's not necessarily used to these style of games, I was just very confused. I was like, wait, what? Like, okay, there's gold skeletons that have skin peeling off and I've killed them and my bow is wonderful. Great, love it. Oh, yeah, we can make things in the gold and climb up. Yay! But then I was like, I've spent 4 hours, you know, nearly 4 hours just wandering around having conversations that I don't feel are a cohesive, like, narrative, a cohesive story.
Sure.
So I think that was my frustration at that point.
That's
but
fair.
I think the individual aspect, yes, great. I really enjoyed the combat. I enjoyed the bow. I enjoyed, you know, the underground world was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. The mechanics were clunky sometimes. I had little moments where, you know, the screen freaked out. There was some things that were weird.
Yeah. Well, it was just annoying, like, the whole start of each conversation where it, like, takes, like, 2 seconds to, like, zoom in on their face, basically, and then they just, like... you know, are kind of lifeless in the way that they're talking.
Yes.
Like,
And I think I didn't realize, because I was getting frustrated at myself for being like, why aren't you solving, like, you're a smart person, why aren't you solving this quicker? I think at that point I was just very focused on like being like, okay, we've had this conversation 4 times, like, is it gonna when is it gonna prompt another question, because I've done that, I've checked that box, when is it gonna give me the narrative that I need to get the thing from you that I want?
Yeah, so that's fair. Yeah, so I think maybe I because you're talking about it as like a complete story, and I think I looked at it more like the individual stories, I think, and that's maybe why I had more enjoyment out of it. And then like, and then it's kind of like bookended by like this interesting beginning and this quite interesting ending depending on the ending that you get, but mm-hmm. like between each one is like it was the story of each character, and some of them were better than others, some of them I don't remember at all. I think my favorite one was the one we spoke about with the lady like peeling apart the statues, because it was like so unexpected and just like disturbing basically. And as you are going through this like mansion, which is kind of like it's like creepily set up, and there's all these bodies and stuff everywhere, and sometimes one will jump out at you, so it's kind of like a almost like a horror aspect to it. But there's also these like audio logs / like journal things that you find, and she talks about like the discovery of what's underneath them, and like how, you know, she's kind of like conflicted about it at first, but then she like keeps doing it. And it's just like, I thought that individual story was like the best like aspect of the game, I think. Like it just was so unique feeling and like creepy and disturbing, and I don't know,
I think for me, if we had gone into her world, and then I don't know if there's several alternative endings from the mini stories in the game, I'll call them,
sure,
like she survived, she lived in my world that I was in, you know, like, so and the statue, the person that she'd peeled off the skin that she was, you know, distraught about, I ended up saving them by making them gold again.
Yes.
So I felt like I would have been interested for, you know, her to continue that story. And, you know, if she was involved in the, you know, the conspiracy to take the, you know, Centilla, the magistrate's daughter, I expected that because she was alive at the end, I expected her to be a bigger player in the game. I expected her to be part of the other conspiracies that we were seeing, you know, with the voting and with the missing people. So I think for me, yes, the way you experienced it and the way I experienced it was very different. I felt it was very disjointed, mm-hmm. although the individual stories I can appreciate had colour and they had joy and the, you know, some of the narrative and the writing was wonderful. But then I did feel like some characters were just, who were forefront, it was just like, oh, hey, yeah, this is my story. Okay, great.
Wonderful. Yes, yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I'm like, why? Why be, just be someone in the world? Like, there's only like 12 people here. Like, why do we have this person? Like,
yeah.
You know, can they not just be a bystander that we know mm-hmm. that on the way past? Like the barkeep, like I don't understand. Like I don't know what journey you had, but you know, I obviously went and paid the 1,000 coin, and she gave me the hemlock, and I was just like. And then after that, people just kept saying, "Oh yeah, she's involved in this," but she just stood at our bar the whole time mm-hmm. and didn't venture out into the world.
Yeah, and if you, depending on what you say to her as well, like she'll, because there was one loop that I had where I didn't realize it until after I had already talked to her, but I needed to get some like information from her. But the mm-hmm. things that I had said to her made her like mad at me, so she wouldn't talk to me anymore. And so then I like couldn't move forward with that quest or side quest or whatever until like the next loop started, and then I could talk to the other person first before talking to her, type thing.
Yes. Where I got stuck in the crux of she was just mad at me all the time because it was in the same loop, and then I was just like, I can't. No, I'm not going to spend my time on you because, you're not going to give me any other answer. I'm going to go and focus my time on something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ending-wise, you said you went for this. You had the second ending. Was that when you free Centilla?
Yes, it's when you free Centilla and then she murders her father by setting him on fire, which I did enjoy because he was a horrible human.
Right, yeah.
But also, I just... Like, I was in the middle of, I had the new person elected. I cannot remember this person's name. It starts with a G. Can you remember?
Galerius or something?
Galerius, yeah.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Garrus, and I'm like, no, Linda Louise, that is from a completely different game. Yes, that person with the G, we'll just say that.
Who's like the first person that you meet and is kind of like
Who's
your friend almost. Yeah.
Your kind of guide through the game, terribly. Yeah. Terrible guide. Never pay for that at Disney. So anyway, my point is, like, you know, I'd done all the things to get the people to vote and have the majority. And then I accidentally, I don't know what I did. Yeah, just decided to go into the oh my God, what is it? The latrine, what's the other word for it? What did they call it in this? Into the tunnels underneath.
Yes.
I can't remember the Roman word for it. But yes, like basically the cistern, I think it was the cistern and the upper cistern. So mm-hmm. I just decided before that I'd been in a loop where the gladiator had threatened to kill me if I had gone in there. And I was like, oh no, I don't want to do anything bad, because I had died so many times in the first few loops, because I was like, just being like, oh, I'll just light this person, I'll just take this bottle. And then I was like, okay, you're never going to get anywhere by doing that. So try and be a bit more measured in how you like interact with people in this world. Don't piss everybody off.
Yeah.
And so I just never went into the cistern. So I was about to get the priestess to call the election. And then I decided, do you know what? I'm here. I'm just going to... They had had the conversation, the gladiator and the priestess had the conversation where she was going to call the election because the person had been nominated. And then I was like, I'm just going to go into this cistern, and if he kills me, I've done everything that I wanted in this loop. So I'll just go... I don't know. I was just like, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just happened to come across Scintilla.
Mm, okay.
And I was just like... So I fell into it. I wasn't even on, don't get me wrong, I found out, you know, that she was in a relationship with the other person, and I managed to get the, oh my God, I can't remember that person's name either, but I managed to get the young person to not kill themselves, to not commit suicide. So, you know, I had completed that part of the story. And then I was just like, okay, I'm going to go into the cistern, and she was just there. And then she was just like, yeah, you and me, let's escape. No concern for her love of her life, apparently. Which is like, yeah, let's just you and I leave. So that just happened in like 2 minutes, and I just felt like the game ended before I'd even got the opportunity to like finalize the things that I'd been working for hours on. So it was just very frustrating.
Yeah, that would be. I, like, for myself, I pretty much had like nothing left to do, and like no quests left aside from like figure out what happened to Scintilla. So for myself, I felt like I had already seen everything else, and then I went to, you know, and then I found her and went into the endings and made a save right before I found her, so I could go back and see the other endings as well.
That's interesting. See, that's where your experience kicks in.
Yeah, and they were like one of the, you know, there's like four endings to the game basically. Yes. And one of them you can get at any point basically, which is just if you kill oh my God, what's the magistrate guy's name? Starts with an M.
Oh, Malleolus.
Malerius. Yeah, Malleolus. If you just kill him. No, that's the guy that's running, that's in the election. Sentius. You can just kill him like at any point, I guess, once you get the bow.
You can just shoot him. Just goes to the ending.
Because the whole thing with like you're trying to escape, and to do that you need to create a paradox so that you never could come to this place, and the easiest way to do that is to kill Sentius, he's the one that opens the portal in the first place, and obviously if he's dead he can never do that. I thought that was funny because it's just like super simple, and like you're always, it's always there, it's always an option, and it's just like, fuck everyone else, I'm getting out of here type thing.
Yeah, that just, for me, that just frustrates the hell out of me. I'm just like, why are we doing all these things?
Yeah, I only did that because I was like, I wonder, this was like, I think I had seen two out of the four at that point, and I was like, I wonder if you could just shoot him and what would happen. And I think that's why that ending exists, is just for like, it's not meant to be like unending, but it's like, oh, if you're gonna try this, like here's your shitty ending basically.
Totally. And I get that, like, you know, when we create we make different decisions, and I can respect that. I mean, I had done a lot of the main quests. I think I'd done all the main quests as well, so it wasn't like, as I say, I played this game for 15 hours, so it wasn't like I did it in three separate sittings. And the reason I played it for so long is I was so frustrated with it that I was like, there must be more than just these conversations, because I wasn't giving myself clear goals to be like, oh, I'll complete that and then I'll go to that, until it got to the point where I was like, okay, I need to do this more structured. I need to think about this a bit more. So I had done a lot of it. I didn't do, like, you know, find out who the person who's going to commit the sin was for the magistrate or anything for Sentius. I didn't do those kind of smaller quests.
Yep.
Because I was kind of like, well, someday at some point is going to show us that they're going to do it eventually. Right. So
I think that, because that, like, basically you can tell him it's going to be any of the other characters, and I think that that's like purposeful, in that based on what you're hearing from all of the characters, it could legitimately be almost anyone. And so I think it's like, I don't know, I think it's like supposed to be ambiguous like that, which I thought was interesting. Because there's only a couple loops where I actually told him it was going to be someone.
I found that that was almost a bit without a real purpose other than to be ambiguous, which maybe I just don't enjoy that kind of mystery part of it, to be like, oh, it's open-ended, it could go anywhere, you know, they could write another game that comes off that story, you know, and that's coming out in 4 years. I just was like not committed at that point that part of the narrative. So it was a struggle for me at that point. I was just like, okay, let's get through this. What do I need to do next to find to end this game?
I just
want to
stop playing. Yes. I have felt like that about games on this podcast. And
which
like,
was sad.
It turns it into a chore, basically. Yeah. And that takes away from it, for sure. Yeah.
And it really was a chore. And, you know, I think the reason I'm so conflicted about this game is I do think it has a lot to offer. And I think I can understand why it was done in the way it was, to give, you know, some structure but not too much structure, and a little bit of the open world experience, and a little bit of, you know, the dichotomy of one style of game as opposed to the other. I get that. I just think it was a bit rudderless. It was a bit, if you're not a person that's like, I'm gonna go in with my clear objectives into this game, like, I think it leaves for a very frazzled anxiety-ridden experience. So
I said, I went through and saw each ending, and the fourth ending, which is considered like the canon ending, I guess. Yeah. The fourth ending is wild. I don't know if, did you like go on YouTube or anything and like watch?
I did not. I did Google it.
I would go on YouTube and like watch it, because it's wild.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Like, it's, I don't know. It like feels like it changes a lot of, I don't
things
know.
Like for you.
End up in, yeah, you end up in space. But before that, it's super interesting because you basically like learn that, like, so, you know, so many other civilizations have like come first and been in this exact same place
and
build up their city, and it's all copies of each other and everything like that. And
see, this is the thing that frustrates me though, Derek, right? I had 3 of the 4 plaques.
Yep.
And I was on path before I accidentally discovered Scintilla.
Sure.
And you know, like, after I'd had that, because Diggy was watching me play the last of it. It was basically like, oh, well, maybe I should go back and, you know, try and do the big ending. But I was so frustrated at that point that you could almost stumble across the other ending of a game.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I understand in context now, I had completed those tasks. So obviously I was going to, you know, it opened up the door for me to have those alternative endings. But I didn't, I went into this game completely blinds, completely, like, and I like to do that because I want to give, I don't want to be, you know, swayed or, you know, I don't want to be swayed by outside influences. So I didn't want to know anything about the game. I didn't know I had alternative endings. I didn't even know that when you meet Karen or Karon, you, at the start, you choose your little journey. I just picked the one that I thought, I was like, oh, I barely remember anything.
Right.
I didn't know you could get a gun. I didn't know until I Googled it afterwards.
Oh, yes.
So I was like, oh, I could have had it.
Yeah, each like story has like a one benefit. I can't remember what one I even chose. It didn't feel like I had any benefit.
Yeah. And I think what frustrated me at the end, I was like, oh, no, I can understand that it gives you a slightly different journey. But my ending, I was just like, yeah, I had, it just felt like it could have been so much more. But I was so frustrated at that point. Mm-hmm. That I was just like, I've given lots of time to this, and there's been wonderful moments, but there's also been terrible moments, and I just am not the person that will go back to things again and again, you know. So I think that was my frustration with the overall game, which makes me sad though, because I think, you know, what you're saying sounds really cool. It sounds I met the person who you know was Egyptian and was protecting their plaque and plaque, and, you know, he was like, oh, there's another plaque with that I want to destroy that has, you know, writing that I can't identify. And I was like, well, obviously there's some other beings, there's something out there, there's a history that, you know, these human people are not privy to, there's some other culture, there's something else. And we all know the stories in our, you know, our world of, you know, how did the pyramids get built? You know, is it extraterrestrial life? You know, if you want to believe conspiracy theories, or you want to get yourself into that, you know, that whole conspiracy. So that's obviously, like, with ancient, you know, and the Aztecs as well, with ancient lore, there is that, oh, was there help from other existence?
Right.
So I think you did have little nuggets of this could potentially be that in the game. It just never panned out for me.
Yeah. I would say look up the last ending because it's wild. And like, so I don't know, like it doesn't, I feel like it almost didn't fit the rest of the game tone wise, but it was so out there that I was like, this shit's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause you like, you're basically trying to convince a god that like the rule is stupid and that he's not better than you. And like trying to like use logic to like, you know, make him think differently. And then for me, I think it could work out, but for me, it didn't work out. And then I'd like run away from him. And then eventually like, you end up getting out. And obviously for us, not if you haven't played it, but like Karen, who's the lady that pulls you out of the river at the beginning, is actually like Karan or however you pronounce it, which is like the ferryman of the dead. So there's like so much mythology within it, and you and all of the people of the city end up getting pulled out, and you're in present day. And like you end up like talking to all of them, but they live in like modern times now, and they talk about like how amazing that is and what they're doing. And it's like a really neat way to like close the story on the characters. And it's like something I never, with the rest of the game and how it played out, I never would have expected it, but those conversations are very interesting. And that ending is just whack, I think.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting though, because I almost threw the controller at the TV by the end. For me, my ending was, you know, I met up with Al again, which I don't understand Al's purpose in any of this story. Just was like, it's completely pointless in my narrative ending. Because then he was like, oh, hi, I'm Al. I don't remember anything. I'm going to block up this door. Oh, you go ahead and speak to the person. And then they turned into the ferryman. And I was like, okay, yeah, I understand that. This is the underworld. Fantastic. And then they were like, oh, you had these two coins left out of 1,000 coins and only so many people get picked. And I'm like, but isn't it your job to like ferry everybody in your culture to the underworld? I'm so confused. Why is it only 1,000 coins? Why only 1,000 people? And why these shitty people that don't have good stories?
Right.
And then just at the end, for what happened for me, she was like, oh, yay. Al came, and then she pretended that she was a normal modern woman.
Sure, sure.
And then she was like, I'm just going to take you back to your world. And I was like, why? Why have I done this whole thing? Like, no. Like, why am I I'm dead. Like, give me some sort of other fun underworld to go to. Like, I will take the death. Just give me it. Like, I don't understand. I didn't get the museum.
Yeah.
Because I Googled afterwards the alternative ending. So I didn't get the museum with the people and the interesting stories, but also that frustrates me as well, because I'm like, I only survive with me and Scintilla. And then I read this plaque where she was like, oh, I'll make you so proud of me. And I was like, I'd seen you for 4 seconds, and then you murdered your father, and then you were like, oh, a bright light, and then I'm back with Karen, so I don't understand. And now I'm alive, but I was dead before, and I don't want, I don't know what's happening.
It's a lot of layers, it's a lot to unpack.
I think the thing was, I get layers. I just felt like, for me, it was just very much like, oh yeah, you stumbled across this ending. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, here you go. Yep. Wonderful. Okay. Bye. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Especially if you weren't, that would have been put a sour taste in my mouth too. Like, if
I
you weren't expecting
so
it to be the ending, and then all of a sudden it's over, and you were like in the middle of doing something else, and now it's a done type thing.
Yeah, and sorry to interrupt you, but it was that way, where something like, you know, this open world, you're like, that's fine, I can go back and go back to that other thing that I was enjoying, and all those quests I took hours to complete and I never got to see any fruition for, so I can go back to those and be like, oh, cool, I'll complete those now. Or I can choose to be like, no, I hated that. Or, oh, I didn't enjoy that experience. So, I love this. I'll go back to that. I'll play that game for hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like, for me, because it wasn't open world, it was slightly open world, and it was almost felt like two games to me. I was a bit like, I did all this work to just get taken back to my time. Why?
Right.
I don't understand. So yeah, that was my frustration with the end of the game.
So it's shit.
No, it's not shit. Which is why I'm so frustrated. I'm still frustrated with it as I'm chatting to you and remembering more things that I was frustrated with. And I think some of the, as we've talked about, the storytelling and was wonderful, and we both enjoyed that, you know, wonderful gory moment in the locked palace with the crazy person. But at the end of the day, it just wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to keep me motivated to
not enough to go back and try to get the other endings and stuff.
I mean, the frustrated person in me that likes to, you know, the competitive person in me wants to, but the person that is also like, no, I'm not giving you any more of my time.
I got better stuff to do.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you any more of my time.
That's fair. I almost like that. Like, so many episodes of this show are, like, I can't recall how many times, like, not that I think we're entirely opposite. Like, I liked it a lot. It sounds like you liked aspects of it, but overall, you wished a lot of it was different. But I don't know. I feel like it makes for a more interesting conversation when it's like, a little bit opposite like that. So,
and I think obviously when you have alternate endings as well, and you, when it is a sort of free play in the sense that you can navigate the world in the way that you want to, that is an interesting story overall.
Yeah.
But I think when you have one ending that's super magical, and then, or one experience that's super magical and one experience that's less than, it's kind of like they should be, you know, concurrent, and then we should have, you know, as well a thought out, colorful, enjoyable narrative at the end. I feel like I almost got shortchanged.
Yeah,
and now I'm mad at the creators. So I'm like, I'm not going to go back and finish the big ending that you wanted everybody to have.
Yeah, like the quality of them does feel different. And it's like, and even just like, you know, your ending and even the third ending, which is basically you don't save Scintilla and you choose to like save everyone else instead, or go get everyone else.
Yeah.
Rather than just saving this one person. Like, they wrap up fairly quickly. Like, it's like a 5-minute thing. Whereas the whole like going through each temple after you like, or going through the temples after you put in the like the plaques and then the conversations that you have, and then you almost have to do like another loop, and then the whole museum thing. Like, it was probably like another 45 minutes. Like, it was it felt substantial and it felt like an ending. Whereas I agree, I don't know that, you know, it ended, but it didn't feel resolved as it does with the fourth ending.
There was no resolution.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you survive in the fourth ending as well then? You survived and you went to space, you said.
Yeah. You go to space to talk to like the god that made the city, and he's got like his wife or love interest like locked up for some reason. I finished a little while ago, I can't quite remember, but you go,
oh yeah, because it's the god they tell you about in the game.
Yeah, and she's actually the one that's been whispering to you through the statues, and he doesn't know that she, what's that?
Just like, of course it's her. They tell you about her in the game, and it's like, who's this person that's whispering all the time? And that was not sorry, I'm just venting my frustration at you now. But yes, like, and that's the thing that, you know, sorry to completely hijack your ending story. I think that's the thing that frustrated me. I was like, I did not find out who was whispering. Was it Scintilla? Mm-hmm. It didn't sound like her voice, which I do agree that the voice acting was fantastic.
Yeah.
I, you know, when the story had a lot of color and a lot of purpose, I really engaged with it and enjoyed it and enjoyed the actors as well. But yeah, like, I never resolved who was whispering to me. But yes, they tell you about that god in one of the little stories. You know, they kidnapped one of the daughters, or I can't remember the whole story, but, and then he took her to be his bride. So that's why she's locked up, essentially.
Yeah. It was Proserpina or something.
Yes.
Yeah. So you do learn that. And yeah, it was just I thought that was a really neat way to do it. And I'm glad I saw through that one. Cause yeah, if I had just, you know, got the ending you got, like, it doesn't feel super resolve-y. I don't think that I you know, cause I played through each of, you know, I was like, okay, I got this ending, now reload, now do the next one. And I don't think that I would have thought that without having this conversation. So,
and so maybe, you know, maybe that's just the enjoyment for the creators though, that it is so divisive, right? That depending on, you know, you could be the second choice in the menu and take the gun, and then, you know, you could shoot the magistrate in the head and have the super quick, you know, 1-hour game experience or 2-hour game experience. But maybe that's that's the purpose, to, you know, create that division and conversation and, you know, but it just didn't work for me.
That's okay. Do you have any other thoughts you'd like to share, or should we move on and draw the game for the next episode?
I have notes. I'm going to look at my notes.
Yeah.
Can I get my 15 hours back? So
there's a rebate you can apply for, I think.
I feel like, because you and I are good friends, I feel like I gave this a lot of commitment, because
I love and respect you.
And I just want my 15 hours back of good gaming time now. So maybe we should
play Fortnite. Yeah, we're going to play Fortnite. It's going to be great.
And I will not lose sleep, hopefully, over this game tonight. So, yeah.
I hope not. Just put on some true crime stuff and you'll forget all about it.
Yeah. What I will say, though, I think it is a game that if you're intrigued by, you know, the narrative and by the story, and you like, you know, these style of games that, you know, have a little bit of open world and a little bit of combat, it's definitely worth a visit. I would be interested to hear other people's thoughts, you know, on it. But yeah, I think definitely give it a play if you're intrigued. And I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Well, I'm going to go ahead and draw the next game then. All right, so my next guest, which may or may not be your husband, I haven't asked him yet, but, you know, he's a good guest, and we haven't had him on in, like, two or three episodes, you know, so we're overdue. Oh. It's going to be between a game called Bugsnax and a game called The Outer Wilds.
Oh, that's a hard one, because Bugsnax really gripped me there in the title, and I can see some sort of cute animation that I would enjoy. I know it has.
Is it which one do you want to watch more? Is that what the choice is at this point?
Oh, no. I will go in the other room and watch a show from my long list of shows that you have given me to watch.
There you go.
I keep being like, I'm going to watch this. And then you're like, have you watched that yet? And I'm like, no.
I'm like, it's been 6 years.
Oh, it has to be Bugsnax. I'm so intrigued by that title. I'm going to immediately Google that. Yeah,
That's great. I've played a little bit of Bugsnax because it launched on PlayStation 5.
Nice.
You know, when that console came out, and I played a little bit of it, and I won't say anything about how I felt right now, but I dropped it very quickly because there was other big games that came out at the same time. But I am intrigued and looking forward to giving it a shot.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Did you have a good time? Would you do it again? Or was 15 hours too much?
I had a great time. I think it's always good to open yourself up to new experiences.
Absolutely, and, yeah.
You know, I don't think I've ever done a podcast before either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is funny because I'm a musician. I've done a lot of live streaming stuff and, yeah, done some Twitch and things like that. But I don't think I've ever done a podcast. Well, thank you for having me on. I hope that I spoke clearly enough when I get very excited and animated.
I think you did.
But I had a lot of fun. Yes, and yeah, I did enjoy the experience, actually, of being committed to something different. Yeah. Because as we talked about the start of the episode, I am a love it or leave it type of person. And
sure, totally.
Make quick judgment calls, and I think it was interesting to see.
How, if you just were like, I'm going to play this game on my own, how long would you have played it for before putting it down forever?
That's a really hard one. I definitely played it for about 2.5 hours at start, and I was so frustrated and bored then, but just having conversations and hadn't really found, you know, the big quests yet, or some sort of direction. I do feel like I would have been frustrated enough to be like, I need to go back to this and figure this, something of this out. Whether it was me that was just going about this directionless and all wrong, or that it was the game was terrible, that did intrigue me. I was like, is this me being inexperienced in these types of, because it was a time loop and I had never played a time loop game before. So I was like, is this just my inexperience or not? So yeah, I would have definitely gone back, I think. I would have been intrigued enough to go back.
Good to know.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it being on your podcast. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the chat. I appreciate it.
Yeah, always fun.
Awesome. This has been another episode of the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. You can hear us right here or wherever you get your podcast on the first of every month, not every month, but most months. You know, sometimes I need a break. You know how it goes. If you like my voice, you can also hear me every most 2 weeks on the Geekscape Games podcast. Just head to geekscape.net or search Geekscape Games wherever you get your podcast. But yeah, thank you again, Linda Louise, for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll be back in 1 month with Bugsnax. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.